Merlin sat cross-legged on the bed when the door opens. When he woke up in the morning, his breakfast was just inside the cell door, and Arthur was nowhere in sight. He must have gone out, because there's been no noise from upstairs since then. Merlin's relieved, because he doesn't know how to face him yet. He can't stop thinking about the night before, and how Arthur's mouth tasted against his, and the way they moved against each other, and how he bared himself, and the way it felt when Arthur walked away. He's never been more confused in his life. One part of him is so guilty and ashamed he can hardly bear to think about it. He actually got off with the man holding him prisoner, took pleasure from his body. He's either idiotic or sick in the head. The other part of him doesn't even regret it, and that's the part he can't understand at all. When he hears the cellar door open, he still hasn't decided what to say to Arthur. He takes a few deep breaths and steels himself. He has to face this, one way or another. Then he hears two voices instead of one, and his blood runs cold. "Pretty boy!" A voice sings out, and his hands start trembling. But he didn't back down before, and he's not backing down now, so he gets to his feet and turns to face them. They're here, both of them, and he has no idea why. Senra looks as mocking as always, but Val's face is serious, like he's got a job to do. Suddenly Merlin wonders if they've come to kill him, and the whole world lurches slightly. His knees threaten to give way, but he forces himself to stay upright. If he dies now, he wants it to be on his feet, not cowering away or begging for mercy. "Here to kill me?" he asks, and he's proud that his voice rings out strong. "No," Val says indifferently, "but you might wish we had soon." If anything, that only makes Merlin more afraid. Senrid starts towards the bars, but Val clicks his fingers at him. "Set it up first." And Merlin watches as Senrid takes a video camera out of his pocket. He's not stupid. If they're filming him, then it's probably something to send to the Institute or the police, and he doubts he's just going to be holding up a newspaper this time. "There's a tripod upstairs, he told us," Senrid says, fiddling with the camera.
"No, you film it. It'll look better that way."
Val's eyes are sweeping the room.
"Over here, the light's better."
Senrid dutifully goes to stand by the wall and looks through the viewfinder. He grabs a chair, moves it into the space. He nods.
"Okay."
Then they both turn as one back to the cell, and Merlin takes an involuntary step back.
"Ready for your close-up, Emrys?"
Val says quietly, and his tone sends a shiver down Merlin's spine. Did Arthur know they were coming? Why didn't he tell Merlin? Why did he leave him alone to face them? Maybe he doesn't know. But Senrid's fishing a key out of his pocket and fitting it into the cell door lock, and how could he have one of them if Arthur hadn't given it to him? He backs away as far as he can until he hits the wall. Senrid merely laughs as he opens the door.
"Don't get coy now, pretty. This is happening, one way or another."
"What's happening?" Merlin asks, even though he knows better than to engage with them. But he can't think rationally right now. A slow panic is working its way through his whole body.
"One of your mates got a bit cocky and said some things he shouldn't have. So now we have to send him a little reminder of what happens when magicals get above their station."
With that, Senrid advances on him. Merlin lashes out the moment he's within striking distance, but Senrid easily deflects and grabs hold of Merlin's wrists.
"He's not tied up anymore, Val. Arthur's slipping."
"Or Arthur found a better use for his hands," Val says, and they both laugh uproariously. It hits far too close to home for Merlin after the events of last night, and he snarls, trying to pull free from Senrid's grasp. But Senrid barely falters, dragging him from the cell as though Merlin's nothing more troublesome than an unruly child. When they get to the back wall, Senrid pushes him down into the chair and stands over him so he can't get up. Merlin kicks out with his legs, and Senrid jumps back.
"I'd stop that if I were you," he says.
Merlin kicks out harder, making satisfying contact with Senrid's shin. but he only has a second to enjoy his victory before Senrid leans in close, pressing Mullen's legs against the chair.
"Listen up, sweetheart. We are on a limited time frame here," he murmurs. "But if you don't behave yourself, Val just might let me take 5 minutes out of our busy schedule to fuck some manners into you."
Mullen goes instantly, utterly still. For a moment he forgets how to breathe.
"Suits me either way," Senrid says, eyes locked on Merlin's. "What will it be?"
And he steps back. Mullen stays completely motionless, as though the slightest twitch will seal his fate. All of his extremities have gone numb. It's like ice is running through his veins.
"Good boy,"
Senrid says in that same low voice. Val appears behind him, pulling on a balaclava.
"Let's go,"
he says and cracks his knuckles. Senrid grabs the camera from the table and holds it up.
"Wait," Merlin says, panicked. "Wait a second."
Val rolls his eyes disgustedly.
"Take it like a man, Amriss."
He steps forward and Merlin leans back as far as he can. The words of a spell form automatically on his lips, and he almost cries when he remembers magic is of no use now.
"Does Arthur know you're here?"
he asks desperately. Val bares his teeth in a grin.
"Course he does. But he doesn't like getting his hands dirty, see? So he's left us to it."
Merlin wants to say he doesn't believe them, but that would be a lie. He only has a few seconds to feel the sting of betrayal before he hears the ping of the camera turning on, and Val's fist smashes into the side of his face. He falls off the chair, hits the ground hard. His head smacks off the concrete floor and the room spins, tilts. He lies there, dazed for a few seconds, until instinct tells him to move. He's only just managed to raise himself to his hands and knees when the kick to the stomach comes. Merlin drops again, gasping. There's not enough time to catch his breath before the second kick comes, landing squarely on his back. He howls in agony, even as some small part of him warns against putting on a show for the camera. But he can't help it. He's not in control. The pain is too much. It drives all other thoughts from his head. There's blood dripping down the side of his face. He blinks it out of his eye, hauls himself up onto his elbows, and tries to crawl away. He doesn't know where he's going. All he knows is that he has to move, and quickly. He drags himself forward, sobbing a little, and then a hand grabs hold of him and throws him onto his back. A booted foot drives into his hip, and he cries out helplessly. A man in a balaclava looms over him, strange and terrifying. He puts his arms up to try and push the vision away, and the man grabs hold of one. Merlin whimpers, trying to pull it back, but the man grips tight. Merlin wants to kick him, but his legs won't work. They twitch uselessly. The man takes hold of his index finger. He hears the crack before he feels it. It's like a gunshot in the quiet room, and when the pain kicks in, it's as though he's been momentarily deafened. He wails like a little boy and closes his eyes, consciousness slipping away from him. The second crack brings him back to full awareness. This time he has no throat left to scream, and he keens instead, lost and afraid, and willing to do anything to make the agony stop. Someone must be listening, because there's no more after that. He's left to drift for a while, vision blurry. A man bends down next to him, shoving an object close to his face, but he can't tell what it is. He comes in and out. He hears voices at one point, but no one's next to him, no one's hurting him right now, and he takes a chance to curl in on himself as much as he can. He brings his shattered fingers to his chest, trying to shield them with his body. Then there's a different kind of noise in the background, like footsteps, followed by a lot of shouting. The sound is distorted and far away. He gives up trying to make sense of it and lets his eyes half close again. It's an effort to breathe. Then someone drops to their knees beside him and he panics again. They're talking to him and he doesn't know what they want. And God, he's in so much pain already. Can't they leave him alone? He wants to be brave, but he's had all he can take, so he opens his mouth and begs them not to hurt him anymore. The man doesn't care. He reaches out towards him, and Merlin shies away as far as he can, braced for the agony to come. But there isn't any blow, and Merlin tries to disappear into himself, to not do anything to provoke the man to start hitting him again. The man keeps speaking, but Merlin doesn't catch all the words. He tenses when the man gets close again, but he only lifts Merlin's head and puts something soft beneath it. It's unexpected, and it calms Merlin enough that he can finally focus on what's being said to him. The man wants to check if he's hit his head. Why would the same man who hurt him want to help him now? It makes no sense. But he doesn't do anything to resist, just lets the man carry out his inspection until he tries to reach for Merlin's fingers. Merlin won't let him. They hurt too much. He can't stand anything else being done to them. The man tries once more, but he doesn't press it. By the time he's finished, things have come back into focus a little. Enough so that when the man asks if he can carry Merlin upstairs, Merlin is able to say no. The man sighs and says something about being sorry, something about not knowing what was happening, something about wanting to help. Oh, the man's Arthur. Merlin's embarrassed he didn't figure that out sooner.
Will you let me help?
Arthur asks. Merlin thinks about it. Yes, he says. Time passes. Merlin closes his eyes, and then he opens them and he's being lifted. He clings on, suddenly afraid of being dropped, but Arthur holds him steady. He carries him to the bathroom and sets him down on the floor, and then asks to take his clothes off. Merlin nods. It doesn't seem to matter anyway, and Arthur's voice is soothing, and Merlin doesn't have any fight left in him. Then he puts Merlin in the bath, and it hurts so much. But he rides it out, and then the water starts to feel like a comfort against his battered skin. Arthur washes him, all over. He should be humiliated, but that's not how he feels. The swipe of the flannel against his skin is soft, and it's even nicer when Arthur starts to wash his hair, massaging the shampoo into his scalp. Arthur speaking again. He's saying he would never have let them do what they did if he had been here. Merlin doesn't know whether to believe him or not.
They had keys, he whispers.
Arthur says they were from his father. Then he says sorry, and he sounds like he's on the verge of tears. Merlin thinks hard. Then he tells Arthur he believes him. Because he does. Arthur lifts him out of the bath not long after and carries him into the bedroom, setting him down on a towel laid over the bed. Then he takes another towel and starts drying him off. Arthur's clearly trying to be gentle, but the feel of the material on his too raw skin still hurts. Merlin's folding his body up before he can stop himself, trying to protect his broken flesh, but the movement only jars his ribs and he lets out a whimper of pain.
Hey, okay, easy now.
Arthur throws the towel on the chair.
I'm all done. Can you straighten out for me?
It takes Merlin 3 tries before he can convince his body to cooperate, that it won't be bearing itself for attacks this time. Once he's flat out again, he shivers and Arthur frowns.
I'll turn the heating up.
He leaves, and Merlin stares up at the ceiling. His vision's not quite clear yet. The edges are still a little fuzzy. But he can make out the swirling patterns in the paint above. He concentrates on them, tries to come back to himself, to calm the skittering of his heart. Arthur returns and puts a small box down on the bed next to Merlin.
I think we should do your hand first, he says, Can you move your fingers at all, or...
Merlin tries to unclench them and is rewarded with a sharp spike of agony running up his arm.
No!
He gasps.
They look either fractured or dislocated, Arthur says. I'm going to have to move them back into place before I can wrap them up. I'm afraid it will hurt a bit.
His voice is very calm, but Merlin can see his knuckles are white where he's gripping the edge of the box.
It's okay, he slurs out. Had a broken finger before. Remember Dr. Reed's setting?
That had been after a fight he got into outside a pub with a man wearing a Think Britain badge. Edwin had tottered the next day to see the work of the harried A&E doctor. He'd reset Merlin's pinky again and spelled any lingering pain away, too. Even if Merlin had his magic now, he wouldn't be able to do that. He was never much good at healing, and his only success had been when he'd managed to keep a clear mind. If he tried now, he'd probably blow his hand off.
Do you want something to bite down on? Arthur asks, and Merlin nods.
Arthur gets a belt from the wardrobe and carefully places it in Merlin's mouth. He takes hold of Merlin's hand, and Merlin resists the urge to pull away.
Ready?
Arthur says, and sensibly doesn't wait for an answer. It's not instantaneous, like it is in the movies. Arthur has to twist his middle finger around for several seconds before it's roughly where it's supposed to be, and Merlin's eyes roll back in his head with the pain. Arthur doesn't prolong the experience, moving onto his index finger immediately. That one clicks back into place with an audible sound, and Merlin nearly bites through the belt in his mouth. He would like to pass out, then. He doesn't want to be brave and stay awake through all of this. But unconsciousness doesn't favor him, and so he spits the belt out and pants until the throbbing in his fingers lessens to a manageable level.
You did well,
Arthur says seriously as he begins to wrap the fingers together. Merlin wonders if he should feel patronized, but Arthur seems sincere, so he just grunts in response. Somehow, the side of his fingers straightened out again, taped up and ready to heal, clears some of the fog from his mind. Unfortunately, clarity comes with self-consciousness.
Can you... Merlin begins, squirming slightly. Some underwear...
Arthur starts.
Oh, yeah, of course. Hang on.
It's a bit late to be embarrassed now. Arthur had just bathed him, for God's sakes, and it was nothing he hadn't revealed the night before in the cell anyway.
And was it really only last night? Because it felt like a lifetime ago.
But Merlin's feeling vulnerable enough right now, and he needs some semblance of dignity. Arthur returns with a pair of boxers, and Merlin reaches out for them before drawing back. He doesn't think he can move to put them on right now, but he doesn't want to ask Arthur to do it. Before he can think of a way around it, he feels a light touch on his ankle.
Let's get these on,
Arthur says softly, and Merlin swallows his objections. It's embarrassing, yes, but he needs help right now, and Arthur's is freely given. Arthur slides the boxers up his legs, maneuvering him slightly to pull them over his hips. Merlin does his best to arch up and help, but it's a momentous effort. He winces when Arthur's hand grazes the bruise on the side of his hip, but it's worth it to be at least partially clothed again. Arthur's already felt and diagnosed his broken ribs. He's reaching for the bandages when Merlin stops him.
Don't tape them up, he says. Constrict my chest. Too much.
Arthur looks worried.
But if you sneeze or cough... It's gonna jar.
Take my chances, Merlin wheezes and Arthur nods, dropping the bandages back in the box. He does the gash on Merlin's head next, swabbing it with disinfectant until it stings. It stopped bleeding and Arthur agrees to forgo the plaster, although he puts one on the ankle scrape and the cut on his lower back. Then he rubs arnica cream on each of the bruises. Merlin doesn't know if Arthur realizes he's giving each one a gentle little pet when he finishes, but he doesn't comment on it, because he doesn't want Arthur to stop. Eventually, there's nothing more to do.
I think that's it,
Arthur says, and he props Merlin up on the bed so he can take the wet towel away. He gives Merlin's hair a brief rub, but it's mostly dry anyway, the central heating having finally kicked in.
"Back to the cell?" Merlin croaks, and Arthur looks shocked.
"No, of course not. You're sleeping here tonight."
Merlin looks around.
"Your bed?"
"Yes, it's the most comfortable."
"Tie me up?"
Merlin says fearfully, and Arthur exhales heavily.
"No, I'll sleep in here with you."
He looks like he wants to say something else, but he stops himself. Merlin doesn't know why Arthur's worrying. He couldn't escape now to save his life. He's in no condition to even stand. But he doesn't argue because he's scared Arthur might change his mind and bring him back down to that cold, damp cell.
"Do you want pajamas? I have spares."
Merlin shakes his head. The room is warm now, and he doesn't want any material rubbing up against his bruises and cuts.
"Food? You haven't eaten since..."
"No,"
Merlin says. He knows his body, and food would only come straight back up again right now.
"Okay, but you're having water," Arthur says, "and some medicine too."